step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. A&I, we just want to quickly remind you that we have been nominated for the best sports podcast in the world, and the only way we're going to win it is if you guys vote for us. If you do vote for us, we will give you a free ticket, yeah, that's right, to an award-winning live show in London in the next couple of months. All you got to do is click on the link in the podcast notes, sign into an account, takes 1 minute to set up, we've timed it, and vote for the Rebiz podcast. Come on, let's win this together. We love you all, now enjoy the pod.
More life. Come and get less with me. All the pints are bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 125 of the Rebiz podcast. Now, Archie, things didn't go quite to plan over the weekend in Dublin, but you still look quite good,
mate. Yeah, mate, I'm feeling surprisingly strong, yeah, after what was a big Saturday. Certainly felt dusty on Sunday after all the jars I had with the boys watching rugby on Saturday, but woke up on Monday. You know that feeling that you feel like you're about to cry, but then you just stand up laughing like for five solid minutes.
Don't know that feeling.
Just on the precipice of like absolutely breaking down in tears and thinking, you know, what's going on? You just
why are you laughing? why are you so happy?
What? I don't know. I just thought, oh, actually, it's all good. Yeah, I had a decent weekend with the boys drinking jars in Clapham. I mean, what is better?
You must have been upset with the result, though. I mean, we were looking for once in this tournament like the better team.
Mate, I mean, look, take away the result first and foremost. Yeah. Last weekend of Six Nations is just a beautiful thing. It's like going to a good old-fashioned pub, sitting down and having a starter, main and dessert. And I'm telling you what, all of those courses did not disappoint. Yeah. I'd go back to that pub right now. I'd go to that pub every weekend if I could.
So forget the rugby. You just had a wonderful weekend.
I mean, what is better than watching three unbelievably good rugby matches in the pub with a load of people? Not only are you surrounded by your mates who know about rugby, so you're having decent rugby banter, but like everybody in the pub also knows the game inside out. I mean, there's a guy over in the far corner. I didn't even get to chat to him, but he was a big guy wearing a British Lions shirt, so he probably played rugby. Quite old guy, big guy, could put his hands on his belly, so probably a forward of some kind.
Right, okay.
But he looked like he probably would have played quite serious standing back in the day. But you know when Freddie Stewart got sent off?
Yeah.
He was just shaking his head. He knew that was the wrong decision.
And it did. Well, it ruined the game.
And then I was just looking at him the whole game because you could just tell he knew when things were going wrong. A slight nod of his head.
It was a nice point of analysis to look at.
Yeah, it was quite interesting. And I actually would have really liked to have catched up with him after the game, but he darted off. Which is a shame.
What did he do after the game?
Actually, just a quick one. If anyone knows, do you think we could put out a bulletin, like just a news bulletin? Because I'd actually quite like to catch up with that guy.
What, missing person?
Missing bulletin. Can we have a little jingle of some sort?
Yeah, sure.
I see you're wanted, dead and alive, by Archie Curzon. I say you're wanted, dead and alive. By the CCO, yeah, he just wants to find you.
I'm looking for a gentleman who's either in his early to mid-50s, thinning hairline, in terrible shape, wears a 1998 British Lions shirt, short sleeves, some tailor-made jeans, so probably does quite well. I'd imagine works in the city and has the look of someone that knows rugby. If you know this individual, please get in contact. I'd love to pick his brain, not just about last weekend's rugby matches, but also the future of rugby.
So obviously this guy darted off after the game, but what did you guys do? You've been pissed since midday.
We just drowned out. Sorry, that's the problem. When you start early, once you pop, mate, you can't stop.
No.
You know, I popped those jars at 11:30 and I was on the jars solidly for another 12 hours. Like, just absolutely going hell for leather. And because you're on Northcote Road, I mean, we wanted to go to Inferno's, but then you got Archer Street, which, you know...
I think that's your new favourite place, isn't it, Archer?
You know the way I feel about it. It's just so decent.
Now they've taken over Inferno's, though. Mate, like, you're loving it there.
It's just... Well, it's just a different crowd. It's more sophisticated.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes I want to go to a place, take my shirt off, and dance to... I'm blue, that's Inferno's, okay? And that's 75% of the time. But 25% of the time, I've been on the jars, I'm talking rugby, I'm talking a bit of business, I'm in a nice, tight-fitting Jack Wills shirt, I'm wearing some really nice black jeans, no socks, boat shoes. I'm feeling quite sophisticated. I want to go to a place, Clovis, where I can have a double gin and tonic for 15 quid and listen to some Craig David and just dance with, like, some people who are probably my age and have a lot of money and are single like me and are really happy.
And maybe meet a girlfriend?
Yeah, I mean, the problem with Six Nations weekend, mate, it isn't really for the cheekers.
No.
You know, they might creep up at the end of the night, but you've been on the jars. You remember, mate, I was on the jars.
Yeah,
I was on the jars for 12 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
So after that, you're feeling a bit woggy, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
No wonder I felt dusty on Sunday. I felt like I needed to cry on Monday, but then ended up laughing because I was like, actually, life is really good. I've watched loads of rugby. I've hung out with a lot of my mates and I was in Archer Street Wine Bar. Yes, I spent 500 to 600 quid, Clovis.
Well, okay.
But I'm actually baller. Deep down, I was just emotional because I drank so much. But actually, if you dig even deeper, and sometimes you have to dig deeper, I actually realised I'm so happy, I'm so lucky. I live in Clapham, I've got my health, I've got my shape, I've got my award-winning smile. I'm looking good already for Q1 and the deals keep running in. I'm really happy.
Well, Q1's about to come to an end.
I just said to myself, mate, I just said in the mirror, I just said, actually, you know what, I had a good chat with myself and I was like, don't cry, just laugh it off because actually you've got the last laugh. Yeah. Oh, I did have the last laugh.
Well, Q1's about to come to an end.
Yeah.
Six Nations has dominated over the last 8 weeks. You must be a tiny bit worried going to Q2 about what you're going to do for your social calendar. I mean, Six Nations is gone for another year.
Look, of course, it's sad when it comes to an end, but you can't have something forever. It's like a wife, isn't it? It's not going to last forever. So, I mean, the exciting thing is summer's coming. We still got the rugby season. We've got about 7 or 8 games left of the season of Clapham Falcons. We're back in training this week. I messaged the boys on Monday evening.
Say what?
And just said, this is where the season starts now. Six Nations out the window. We've had our international break.
Yeah.
It's time to get back into training. We've all been skiing. We've all had nice holidays. Yes, we're all going to be dying off to Portugal and various other hot spots of Europe between, you know, April and May. But let's turn up, put the work in, and let's get it done. Let's lift that cup at the end of the season, have a decent end of year social on the group of 36 people, 5 people gave me thumbs up on the message. You know, when you tap the message, that's a bloody good response. You know people are feeling it.
Well, obviously, it's another disappointing year for England. I think that's 3 in a row now for the Six Nations. But the World Cup is coming later this year. And you've somehow managed to bring on a guy who probably, hopefully, be starting on the wing for England at that World Cup in Mr. Ollie Hassel-Collins.
Well, it's just important to say, you know, obviously, this podcast has been nominated globally as the best sports comedy podcast. That's because we bring people the biggest and best guests. And
we do, every week.
Everyone knows, you know, I'm Clapham's biggest influencer. One of the people that follows me is Ollie Hassel-Collins. Now, I like Ollie for a number of reasons, but he's got a double barrel name.
Yes.
So you could just tell before he even started following me, he's a good bloke.
Yeah.
He's a good boy.
Yeah.
And I've just delivered. So you are welcome, the listener. Yeah. You are welcome, Freddie, because I know
Archie.
You actually deep down love a bit of rugby.
I'm a big Ollie Hassel-Collins fan. Can you believe it? 3 years of doing this podcast almost, and he's the first person with a double barrel name we've ever had on as a guest.
Is he really?
Yeah.
That's disappointing.
I know.
can you write that down?
Yeah,
can we try and find more people with double barrel names? I just think it fits with the style we're trying to do.
Definitely. Okay. Well, without further ado, let's get on the man himself, Mr. Ollie Hassel-Collins. Welcome to the pod.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
I have to say, Ollie, I would have preferred to have done this in the net with such a high net worth individual like yourself. But unfortunately, we're going to have to use the medium of Zoom, which a lot of businesses conducted that way
these
days.
They do know this post-pandemic.
But it is phenomenal. And it's great to see you're wearing a sponsor, mate. That will make them happy.
Of course.
How is that? Is it Castor?
Castor, yeah.
Yeah, Castor. It's brilliant, mate.
Nice little logo on the side as well, though.
Yeah, that's decent. The wings. I actually might get that tattooed on me, the wings. That's quite good. Look good on my arms. That's a good place for it, actually, as well.
On the bicep, yeah.
Before we start the pod, you must send me some of that stash, because I would love a bit of London Irish stash just to walk around the gym. Because a lot of people where I gym and clap, and they know who I am. But it's always good to have up-to-date stuff. I've exhausted my WASP stash now.
Yeah, it's quite embarrassing to wear that now. They've gone defunct.
Yeah.
Now they've got bankrupt.
I'll get some of the Clapham Falcon stuff as well then.
Yeah. I'll send you somewhere and then you send me some this way.
Yeah, I'll do some.
The thing is, mine and your rig is quite similar. Like, we're both quite like svelte, stacked guys. Alfie Barbary gave me the WASP stuff and it's just baggy.
Yeah.
I look like a pregnant woman.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah, that's the problem. And I like to wear tight stuff.
We should quickly tell our audience, obviously we're delighted to be joined by England and London Irish winger Ollie Hassel-Collins. Ollie, before we properly get into your wonderful career so far, how long have you been following the words of this ridiculous man I sit alongside, Mr. Archie Curzon?
A long time. Yeah. It started with the Drop the Egg on YouTube, out of a series that I'm waiting for another one to come out.
It's coming.
So I've been following since that, really. Long time.
Well, Ollie, Archie couldn't wait to get you on, especially as you've got a double barrel surname. Unbelievably our first guest with a double barrel surname in 3 years. He's been eager to find out which public school you went to, so please tell us which one you went to, because surely you went to one, didn't you?
I didn't, no. I'm from Berkshire, but I did the ACE programme.
What's that?
So you do like your A-levels alongside a college, and then so for me it was London Irish. We do like a train and play at Hazelwood. There's like a whole ACE league that they do. I really enjoyed it, but not quite a private school.
Write that down, because I'm hoping little Johnny Johnny will go to private school, but if not, she can go on the ACE course.
Okay.
Get her going. I'm guessing it's open for girls as well. Let's just say yes for this circumstance. It's for men and women.
Okay. Well, a quick word on the England loss to Ireland over the weekend. Obviously, massively disappointing. But that must be the weakest red card ever shown in international rugby, wasn't it, Ollie?
Yeah, it's. I don't agree with that. I don't think it was a red. I don't want to say too much about it in case I get cancelled. But it definitely wasn't a red. I think it probably ruined the game a bit. You know, it's a big game that probably shouldn't have happened. So,
just obviously a lot of our audience are semi-pro rugby players, like myself. But I mean, what is it like out there? Because it is a tenth of a second you're making a decision, and then you're penalised, and that obviously, like you said, ruins a game.
It wasn't red, obviously, but you can't prepare yourself for that. And I suppose he was doing it. Freddie was doing his best to protect Keenan as well as himself, and he felt that was the right thing to do. So. You can't fault me for that.
It's very similar in a way to the business world, you know, where I've had it a few times where I've taken clients out for lunch, and as you sit down, they've told you they've gone with a competitor, and you're completely startled. You know, you're there in the moment. You can't back out now.
Menu's in your hand.
You've got to go for it.
Yeah.
You've got to go for it, but you know it's going to be a negative result and it's going to ruin the lunch. And it's one of those things you just have to kind of get on with. And I think, you know, England did their best to sort of crack on, you know, and you have to crack on. But, you know, you're there and you know you're not going to make the money. So you're already spending all this money. You're spending, you know, thousands and thousands of pounds of caviar, sashimi, lobster, you know, champagne, vodka.
Yeah, cigars.
Cigars, exactly. Yeah. And then you walk away empty-handed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a complete waste of time.
Well, Ollie, I do want to say quickly, because obviously lots of people now with the TMO being more and more involved in the game, apparently there's a lot of play acting going on. Apparently you're seeing it in the league, you're seeing it in international rugby. People are buying yellows and reds because they know if they hold their head and go down. Not in this instance, because there was contact, but in general. Have you noticed that a bit more?
I don't know. I think similar to like football, you can't do anything you can to... You got to put your team on the front foot, and if that means staying down for an extra couple of seconds, then I suppose I personally wouldn't do it, but I know some boys that have, and I'm sure I can see it probably happening a bit more in the future, yeah.
Do you worry because everything looks worse in slow mo? For instance, just like a few weekends ago, I was in Inferno's, and like one of my mates, Clefty, you'd actually really like him, Ollie. He sometimes goes and watches London Irish and always knows where you guys are doing wrong. So I'll put him in contact with you. But I was snogging his cheeker, like in like normal time, it looked decent snog. Like I got lip to lip contact.
Yeah, good time.
Got the bit of the pool at the front of the lip. But he filmed me in slow-mo, and it looked like a complete disaster. Like, I could have been arrested.
Yeah.
So, it slow-mo makes everything look a lot worse.
It does.
I think slow-mo should be used for tries, but I don't think it should be used for collisions, because slow-mo is a tough one. Like I say, everything looks worse. It's got the, you know, if you hit someone, it's got the whiplash and all that stuff that goes into it. So I don't think slow-mo should be used for the collisions.
Slow-mo should also be used like for training purposes, like for technique in the bedroom as well.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I will just film myself slow-mo in the bedroom, just moving, just to see how, you know, things are working.
When you're by yourself?
By myself, yeah.
So you just be naked on bed?
Well, no, sometimes I'm just in my pants.
Right,
but
okay.
I'm just assuming, you know. So just one for anyone listening. There's a lot of young guys
film
listening
yourself to this
boarding school. Use it in slow, because you can use it on your iPhone and you can get slow-mo.
Okay. Ollie, obviously the Scottish camp apparently famously have this sort of rule where whether they win, lose or draw, they go for a couple of drinks after the game. Obviously now you've been in the England camp, do they have a similar culture? A couple of beers and, you know, a bit of a sing-song afterwards, everyone?
Yeah, so there's a bit of a, you obviously get the cool box and a bit of the changing room with a few beers. After the win, there wasn't a sing-song, it was asked, but I think it might have been Ellis who said that he'd get onto it and make a song for us to sing after we win. And then we went back to the hotel, and then it's kind of like a free bar, open bar, boys sit there with their partners, chilling out, having a few drinks. Obviously it was a bit tough after the Scotland game. It was a bit more lively after Italy, after obviously the win. But yeah, no, it was nice. It was good atmosphere.
So you're saying you need a song. England still don't have a song they can sing, and Genji's saying he's gonna write one. We know Genji's a friend of the show. Will we not write them a song?
Well, we've written a number of songs recently.
No, but they need a song they can sing every game.
Yeah, I can do that. Leave it with me. I'm pretty sure I can do one. And I'll send it in. I'll email Genji the song and just say, here's the bit where you sing.
Okay.
And I think we could do that. Leave it with me. Can you write that down?
We've had a Christmas top 10 hit, so that could be our next one.
But surely all the boys have seen the songs we've been doing. So I know Genji liked the Nickelback remix that we did recently. And Lewis led them.
Well, we've had half England team on the podcast. Most of them also follow you, like the Irish team. Yeah. Do the boys listen to the pod in the build-up to the week? Do they listen to the songs? Have they been going around the changing room?
Can't say they have.
What? What do you mean?
That's
I don't control the music. I don't control the music.
Surely there's whispers like, fucking hell, AC's at it again with Nickelback.
When you're on the bus, surely everyone's talking about Archie.
I'll tell them to put it on.
Yeah. Can you, now we've got you as like the mole in the England team, I will just send you voice notes and you can pass them round to everybody.
Well, one thing I have noticed is when you score, you don't have much of your own celebration. Talk about England not having their own song. You don't have your own sort of defined celebration. Now, we're famous for helping people's careers out when they come on the pod. They come on, their careers get better. Ollie Pope, Test Century after he comes on. Seb Negri scores a try. Ollie Lawrence get back to the England team. I'd give thousands of examples. Now, obviously now you've been on the podcast, would you honour us with the Clapham Falcon celebration? You would have seen Ollie Lawrence do it, I'm sure. You would have seen Seb Negri do it.
I can do that. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, quickly talking about that debut against Scotland, obviously the result didn't go to plan, but how did you fare, you know, around the boys? Did you enjoy being in camp, and did they make you do an initiation, or is that long gone?
Yeah, no, it was amazing. I loved, obviously, apart from the score, it was an unbelievable experience. You know, it's what you dream of as a kid. And, you know, when it actually happens, it's still not quite real. The camp was amazing. Obviously, when Steve told me I was going to be starting, it was a bit of a shock. I didn't expect to ever start on my debut, especially against Scotland in one of the biggest games in the Calcutta Cup. So that was a pretty special moment, trying to hold the tears in, because it was just before a backs meeting. So I was trying to hold it in. And then, obviously the build-up was amazing. Everyone was like class, like just making me feel easy. Was it during the anthem? It was quite nice. I managed to see my parents in the crowd, which made it a little bit special. That was really nice. Then seeing them sing, and then obviously me singing in front of them, which was quite nice. And then the initiation, it's basically you go back and then people come up to you with a drink, and you have to drink it with that person. So it'll be pints, shots, mixture. Be anything.
What was the worst drink you were given? By who?
Owen Fowle gave him a peppermint tea.
Well, you're obviously lucky enough to train in Penny Hill Park. You tried to go there last year, but then you were sent away by security. You're now banned from the grounds. But can you give us an insight into what you boys do in the evening to switch you off?
But still pissed off about it.
And who's the best value in that team? Who are you like rooming with?
A couple different. I've roomed with Henry Arundel, Caden Murley, Tom Dunn. Those be my three this tournament. In the evenings, obviously, we had the luxury of the spa. Lovely spa, hell of a spa.
Yeah.
If you get down there, it's unbelievable.
Can I come next time, maybe?
Are you banned?
Absolutely.
Okay, no, I can go with Ollie. Oh, right. I'll go with family and friends.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get you in. We got a dart board, which a few of the Leicester lads love. They have their own darts that they bring in and Ooh. Do a killer or just normal game. And then obviously a pool table as well.
Got 11 now on my mind. I got free beer to give all the people inside.
Life. Yeah, that's why we're continuing our incredible partnership with our friends at Beer 52, because beers aren't just for the Six Nations. They're for every single bloody week of our lives. And guess what? We're upping the ante a bit. We're giving you 8 award-winning lagers or beers of your choice sent straight to your house in a couple of days' time. All you got to do is pay roughly £5 postage, cheaper than a pint of lager anywhere in the city. Ooh, the song's going to win. And you get a free box of 8 beers, plus 2 award-winning snacks, and loads of other freebies for £5. I mean, that is crazy. So if you want to take this now, go onto the Beer52 website /ringbeers, or just click on the link in the podcast notes, because that's a lot easier. You'll go straight through. And when you're commuting into work, listen to this award-winning podcast, you could also, treat yourself and get a free box of 8 beers plus 2 free snacks plus loads of other freebies for £5 roughly. We love you. Ciao.
How difficult is it to build the culture at the moment? Because obviously you see the culture of Ireland and they've done extraordinarily well. And it seems like, culture drives everything. Obviously Steve's come in and it's a new coaching system, everything like that. Are they doing much to drive the culture? How long do you think that takes? Because you've had a short period of time, Six Nations, he's come in. You know, some results haven't gone away. Do you think that will come as Steve's got more time at the helm?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's hard to compare us to Ireland because they're all from Leinster. Most of them are from the same team.
Yeah.
So it's hard to, I don't think you can compare us to those. But this tournament's been probably massive, especially with the France game. It's probably brought us a bit closer. I think that just happens generally with results that go like that. It does bring teams closer. It's happened with us at Irish. It's kind of brought us closer to kind of work a bit harder for each other and understand what's on the line.
Okay, I definitely became closer with my mum when my dad left her. We came incredibly close.
I can imagine.
Then she got a new boyfriend.
And then you lost the closeness.
That's a whole different conversation. We had a very good coach at the time. It was almost like a new head coach came into the family. I mean, nice guy, but...
She's still with him? Or?
No, he was from Kettering.
Right. Don't know what that is.
20 years younger than her. And I just knew it was going to... Like a new head coach of the family. And obviously, first things first, I was kicked out. He didn't want me. And then that was it. But initially, sadness brings you closer together. And that's what, in a way, I don't want to wish it, but when my dad dies, I know me and my brother and sisters will come a lot closer together.
And a lot richer.
That will be actually a lovely day, in a way. Sad day, but a good day. So,
Ollie, earlier you mentioned that the Leicester players like to just sort of stay by themselves and play darts. Does that worry you that you're going to play at Leicester and that's the kind of banter?
Nothing's confirmed yet.
No. Really? I've been reading sort of conspiracy theories since December.
Yeah, there's a lot of theories going about, but nothing's officially confirmed yet. It's still to and fro. Yeah.
Well, if you do leave, London, what are you going to miss the most? Where do you guys hang out? Obviously, you're in West London for your games, but where's life for you?
Richmond. A lot of boys are in Richmond, Teddington, those kind of nice places. Obviously, Clapham, big one for the Friday, Saturday nights.
Have you been to Archer Street Wine Bar?
No, I haven't been to Archer Street.
Mate, you've got, next time you're around, you will love it. It's quite what I was saying earlier, it's very sophisticated. Sometimes you just want to go out, take your top off, and dance to the best of 5. But sometimes you just want a chilled one, keep your top on, have a couple of glasses of just vodka, lime and soda water, and just chat about the game. Arch Street Wine Bar. That's the place.
Yeah. I've heard, I know a few boys that have been and said it's good. So,
yeah.
Have you been to Clapham, Ollie, or not?
I have been to Clapham, yeah.
Where do you go? Where do you enjoy it?
Scorpio Furnace.
Yeah.
Up there, obviously Northcote.
Yeah.
Yeah, Northcote is so beautiful. It's like Venice in the summer.
Those are the two main places for me.
Ollie, obviously you got your first taste of sort of international duty, as it were, not playing, but training under Eddie Jones. We hear that he's a terrifying guy and kind of crazy. What was your weirdest interaction with him or that you witnessed from him?
I didn't mean too weird. Nothing like, obviously, Ben Young's with the sweets or nothing like that. It was more for me, it was kind of the feedback he was giving me was just get harder to tackle, which is a little bit confusing for me personally. Obviously, I was always kind of up there in the stats for defenders beating, line breaks, all that kind of stuff. So I didn't really understand fully what he meant. I never had anything too outrageous with him.
Well, if Eddie Jones said to you, actually, get harder to tackle, what would you do? Like, because obviously it doesn't really mean anything, but...
I mean, it's different for me because, like, Ollie is a young gun, you know, he's a little bit wet behind the ears. You know, for me, I'm a more experienced professional.
You've been playing 15 years.
Someone say that. And for me, I carry all my stats on me with on my phone.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, but they're LinkedIn-based stats. That's business world. So, for instance... If he'd said that, I would have said, Jonesy, can I just have a quick word, mate? he'd probably be like, what, mate? I'd be like, no, come over here. I just want to talk to you. He'd be like, no one ever speaks to me like that. I'd be like, right, come over here. And then I'd just give him a little, little slap in the face.
You'd slap Eddie Jones on the face.
With a bit of cupping air.
There you go, so a nice slap.
And I'd just say, what the f*** are you talking about? Look at that.
Wake up.
That's 21 connections every day. Okay, I put out a connection somewhere. I've never missed a connection.
Yeah.
And then I'd be like, what are you smoking? Okay. And then if Eddie Jones was on it, I'd be like, by the way, you're losing your job soon. And then I just left it like that.
Well, obviously, Archie, you know, puts himself forward as a motivator, a sort of a genius, a man who can get anyone to perform at their best. I recently read an interview with The Guardian, you quoting Archie's favourite phrase, look good, feel good, play good. Does that mean we owe the confidence you absorb and, you know, everything you love about life down to Archie?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
But was that a direct quote? Because, I mean, I saw it and I was like, that's straight out of Archie Curzon.
It wasn't a direct quote, but I remember when I said it, I was kind of like, oh, yeah. I can put it down to you if you want.
It's subconsciously, you know, a lot of it is you just take it all in.
Exactly, you know? It's in there. It's always in there.
Well, does that mean that we owe the confidence you have to paint your nails down to Archie Curzon? Is he the one who's the man who's given you the confidence to go out there and paint your nails?
Definitely. Paint my nails, dye my hair. All that stuff is absolutely down to him.
Yeah, I actually really did. When I was on my gap year, between the ages of, between 17 last year school and 21 in the summer, I used to love dyeing my hair. Do you like that? Like peroxide.
What, Cornwall?
Yeah. When you're at Cornwall, always squeezing lemon juice in my hair. Because just to get like an extra bit of. I might actually bring that back this summer.
You're a bit old to do that now.
No. I think I could catch a bit of sun in these, like, in the last bit of the locks just to add a bit of flair.
Okay.
Not too old, mate. I'm young at heart.
Ollie, obviously, you know, you do love painting your nails and you've got some great exposure from that. But can you tell us what got you into doing that in the first place? And has there been any sort of weird reactions from your teammates? You know, some of the old-fashioned boys maybe up north.
I used to bite my nails. So I was painting them clear to stop me from doing that. And then kind of this season, I was kind of like, oh, I might as well, you know, jazz it up a little bit, mm-hmm. put a bit of colour onto them. And it kind of started from there, you know, green and white for Irish, but red and white for when I'm in England. So kind of mixed it from there. I didn't get any weird reactions. I think it's because when I went into Irish, it's kind of, I don't really get bothered by that stuff. You can't, like, I'm not going to react. I don't really react to anything. So boys, they didn't really bother giving me any chat.
So just a quick note on biting nails for the younger listeners. There's a guy in my boarding house called John Capinho, and he used to have a problem with biting his nails. And actually what he did, first of all, he said, if you put your fingers in an anus, it will stop you biting. I mean, the smell is horrific, but actually it didn't work because on his own anus, he'd do it because he's very comfortable like that. But there was another boarder called Jagjeet Mawaha, and he used Jagjeet's arsehole and each finger, and he never bit his nails. And now he's got some of the best nails around.
Okay, you're still in contact with him?
Yeah, both really good guys. Jagjeet is in Lincolnshire. He's got four children. He's an engineer. He's done bloody well. I mean, not well like me, but I mean, good for him. He's got four kids. I think that's what he doesn't equate wealth to happiness, which I think is a bit stupid. John Capinho, he's in Thailand. John, nice guy, but actually got done for stealing at school and left at 17. Luckily, his dad was very well known in the Thailand area, and now I think he's got a corporate job, does pretty well. Judging by his Instagram, very happy, single guy. But one thing I do notice, he's got bloody good nails.
Okay.
So yeah. Because kids would listen to this, and I just say use your if your mates are there, use them for good reasons, for health.
Ollie, obviously, apart from the wonderful nails, you also have a nice little collection of tattoos. One being a golden snitch, I believe, from Harry Potter. Ever thought about having tattoos yourself, Arch, or not?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to get the Canary Wharf tube line to represent my gap year, but I decided against that.
Right. But can you talk us about...
I wanted to get Clapham Common, like the outline of Clapham Common, like on my arm. Might still do that.
You didn't. Can you talk us through your love for Harry Potter and sort of your tattoos?
Love for Harry Potter kind of started... I was a film first, then books. I just thought it was like so cool, and it's something I would love to do. Just be a wizard, fly around a broomstick,
go to boarding school.
Exactly, yeah, it'd be class. I think it'd be wicked. And then tattoos kind of... I have a mixture of stuff that means stuff that I kind of just like. This is my first one.
Is that Scratch? What is it?
it means king in Chinese, hopefully. I got it in Magaluf.
Yeah. That's a good place to get a tattoo, actually.
One of those ones. Got my family's motto on my bicep as well.
What's
the motto?
The motto is...
It's always good because you can remind yourself if you forget in a podcast.
Look at those arms. Yeah, bloody impressive.
By the path, the hill, he conquers who endures.
Oh. Do you have a family motto? Obviously, you've got the signet ring.
Yeah, my family motto, unfortunately, Ollie's used it, look good, play good.
In Latin or
but
English?
The one thing I'd say, and look, Ollie, Ollie is now like a very good friend. And he probably sees me as a big brother, subconsciously. What I would say is, great, you got those tattoos. I hope you had a good time in Magaluf. When you retire and you have to get a job in the city, you're going to have to wear a long sleeve shirt because you won't get employed with those tattoos. But
I'll be all right.
You'll be all right because you would have made quite a lot of money anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Now my missus is going to work when I retire, so
that's good. Yeah. Can you write down find a girl that's going to bloody work?
Find a missus who works in the professional world. Yeah. Obviously, Archie loves his nicknames. Can you tell us why the lads call you the Grinch?
I think it's because when I smile, it goes quite high. So it kind of started at Ace, and then the boys that got signed at Irish then. When I got signed, it kind of carried on from there. So it hasn't recently.
What's the best nickname at London Irish? I mean, surely there's a good one.
Oh, JJ's brother.
JJ's brother.
Yeah, I've already nicknamed him that.
You
JJ's
met
brother.
Him. You
I met JJ's
him.
Brother, yeah. And I've got to say, I met JJ, and then I met JJ's brother. And JJ's brother's a good lad.
Well, talking about JJ's brother, you obviously got London Irish promoted before the pandemic. Just how loose were the celebrations that night? Because that was a real, real big one, apparently.
Yeah, that was good. That was, I think it was Richmond away. We won. We had a couple of games left. And it was just sent it in Richmond. We had like a bar hideout, which like loads of boys just went there and just sent it as class.
I heard you guys had a big one at the ship as well.
The ship's always a big one on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
I think a few boys went after the game yesterday, so I think there's a big one there as well.
I missed that. I was gonna put down show my face but I thought I had a big one Saturday. I love the ship. You would be a little bit out of place.
Would I?
Yeah, because you haven't got the arms for it.
Okay.
You need to be in decent nick on a Sunday ship session, because it's like a slither of rugby.
Is it the place to be?
It's a mixture of semi pro and pro rugby players and pro rugby players' friends.
And some girls or not?
Sometimes, lock the lips and throw the pants. And they say, "I'm not, mate. I'm a public figure. I will not say anything." But yes, there are sometimes some girls. Does he have jet? Or does he have no jet? Does he have jet? Or does he have no jet? Does he have jet? Or does he have no jet? Gonna ask those questions now.
So let's start with Owen Farrell. Chat or no chat?
Chat.
Married to... sorry. Let's start again. Owen Farrell.
No chat.
Maro Itoje.
No chat.
Paddy Jackson.
Chat.
Henry Arundel.
Chat.
Ollie Lawrence.
Chat.
Jamie George.
Chat.
Freddie Stewart.
I've heard he's got chat.
Lewis Ludham.
Chat. Good lad.
Ben Curry.
No chat.
Thank God for that. And finally, Marcus Smith.
Chat.
Ollie Hassel-Collins, Ollie, what an absolute
thank
legend.
Thank you so
we
much,
love you.
Mate. Thanks love so much on, and mate. Champagne. I will see you soon.
Have a good one.
What a lovely young man.
Yeah, good guy.
Destined for greatness, I feel.
What I really respect about him, Claude, is he's playing England rugby currently. He's given us the time.
Yep.
We talk about the game, trying to expand, getting out to more people. And this is what I'm talking about. There are other people in that England team that I reckon listen to this podcast who have said, oh, I don't want to come on because I'm always more time my day. Well, man up. Well, that's probably why you're not performing very well.
Yes.
Because you've got fear. That's why I do well in the business world. I've got no fear.
You're not scared of anything.
I'll go into any meeting room in our office, even if the door's closed. I don't care. I'm getting involved. I walked into a finance meeting the other day. I've nothing to do about finance. And straight away, went in there. They asked me to leave. And I said, hold on, what are you talking about? They were talking about the forecast. I don't know what that is. But I just said, well, I tell you what, I forecast you, it's raining deals. They clapped me and I walked out.
Well, Archie, it's been wonderful to spend some time with you. I'm looking forward to getting to Q2. Spring is here. There's a change in the air. The sun will be shining once more on Clapham Common. There's so much to look forward to. We've got some incredible guests coming out. The World Cup later in the year. But before all that, we've got 2 weeks to get people to vote as many times as possible for us to be the best comedy podcast at the Sports Podcast Awards globally.
And when it's times like these, you know what? You have to go and stand up and have to make a speech. So I don't know whether you could find some kind of music. I'm thinking epic film music.
Okay.
A bit of reverb on my voice.
Yeah, yeah.
Chassis and Chassiettes, it's AC here, the chief cell officer, the CEO of Clapham. Yes, it is I, the man, the myth, the legend. Now, we've been on quite a journey, haven't we? 3 years now, just delivering chat after chat after chat. Finally, somebody has taken notice globally and nominated us for this podcast. All I'm asking is you click on the link in the bio, take 2 minutes of your day and vote for us on this podcast. Now, you might be busy. Well, I'm busy and I'm producing a podcast every week. Yeah, and that takes a considerable amount of time. More than 2 minutes and you're getting this in your ear for free. So at least you can do, you fat prop, is click on the link, vote for this podcast and make us globally recognised as the best sports comedy podcast worldwide. Can you do it? Ask yourself that, because I can. That's why I wake up every morning and have my egg whites, boiled chicken and broccoli. I do it. I do it not just for me. I do it for you. So I just ask you one thing. Click on the link. Let's make this podcast global, baby. I love you. Seriously. I love you. I don't want to let you go. But if you don't, click on the link. I'm going to let you go. And I'm never taking you back. Love and champagne.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.